Hello and welcome to Live from the Festival on BCB 106.6 FM, coming to you from the Bradford Literature Festival Hub here in City Park, Bradford. I'm Carol Moss.
And I'm Maureen Rowe, and we'll be with you for the next 30 minutes, bringing you all the Literature Festival news, reviews and interviews.
So on today's programme, we'll be hearing from Bradford Council Chief Executive Kirsten England about Thursday's event in memory of her mother, Joan Lingard.
And with a big Bollywood concert last night at St. George's Hall, we'll be getting the thoughts of one enthusiastic fan.
And we may be joined later by some of the festival's amazing artistic talent, or they may be incredibly busy and might not hear. So we're going to hear all about things that went on at the weekend and talk about the week's events.
Okay. You know what? The joy of Windrush and Sunday. That was just amazing, you know.
Tell us a little bit about it.
So it was all in honor of commiseration for the Windrush pioneers. And over the week, you know, we've been looking at all their achievements, all their struggles, how we are standing on their shoulders. And so we had a church service at the Alhambra Theatre, not the studio this time, at the theatre. And it was full. It was five, I think it was, the maximums were 500, and it was full. It was packed with people from every denomination, you know, race, it didn't really matter. And just the program, and it was a church service, to be fair, it was, and they did say it's a church service, but they gave our elders, some had flowers, you know, they talk about their achievement, their struggles, you know, and the legacy that they left behind. So they really, and the Bishop of Bradford were there, Reverend Parry, who was now canonized, were there. It was amazing, you know. So Bradford came out and they really honored the Windrush generation.
Well, that sounds absolutely fantastic. And I imagine it was a very emotional time.
It was, you know, it was really emotional. My mum came here in 1962, and it was hard for her, you know. And so when I hear the stories and, you know, their trials, but also their successes as well. And I just think that, you know, for us, it was just so deep. We didn't realize how much they've struggled in an environment that wasn't for them, but they were asked to come here. And so for us to look back and say, you know, this is our achievement, this is what we've done, you know, this is our contribution, not just to Bradford, but to England as well.
And it makes the Black community and Black and African Caribbean community in Bradford very visible, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. You know, sometimes, you know, like in World War II, and I work with young people, and they'll say, but there was no Black people in World War II. I'm like, but my uncle fought in World War II. So you have to sort of enable young people to know about what happened and, you know, and the achievements. So for me, I'm very proud. I'm proud of my elders, and they've left the most amazing legacy behind.
Okay, well, I'm sure we'll come back and talk a little bit more about other events. But I think, first of all, we'll go to the talk that I did with Kirsten England, who's Chief Executive of Bradford Council, and I spoke to her about the event that she's talking at this year, and the event's about writer Joan Lingard, who happens to be Kirsten's mum, and Kirsten is sharing the session with Mariam Ansar.
So thank you for joining us today, Kirsten. We're very lucky to have you, Chief Executive of Bradford Council, in Bradford, talking in as part of the Literature Festival about Joan Lingard, who happened to be your mum, and your mum was a very prolific writer. Tell us a little bit about what your focus in the session is going to be.
Yeah, happy to do that. Carol, and I'll just start by saying I am who I am today, largely because of my mum and her writing and the model that she was to me as I was growing up as a young girl about the aspirations that women can have, really. You said my mum was a prolific writer, 64 publications to her name, most of which were for children and particularly teenagers. She grew up in Northern Ireland, she grew up in Belfast in the 30s and 40s. And even at that time, the kind of tensions and conflicts below the surface between Catholic and Protestant were part of her experience, although she was neither. She was actually a Christian Scientist, and I guess that also gave her an objective place from which to observe some of the impacts of those sectarian tensions. And the books for which she's best known are really a five-part series about a Catholic boy and a Protestant girl. They're love stories, basically, but it's about how young people from different communities come to know, respect, indeed love, and commit to one another, and the challenges, obstacles, and attacks that they endured as they took their relationship forward, and as the situation in Northern Ireland deteriorated. And I think in the session, that's partly what we'll be looking at, an abiding theme, really, in my mum's work was of identity, community, relationships between people of different backgrounds, often against quite troubled situations.
And so we can obviously learn quite a lot in Bradford about reading that, but it also gives us a very, if you like, unique and in-depth understanding of what was happening in Northern Ireland.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, her first books, first 12th Day of July and Across America's, come out in the early 70s, just as the situation around the time, just after Bloody Sunday, and as the situation was really deteriorating. And, you know, we're, you know, a long way from that moment, and Good Friday Agreement, you know, is much celebrated now, but those tensions simmer, and they are still there, as we've seen in the past few months. So it does absolutely throw a light on that province's history and its legacy. But you're right. You know, my mum's books were very popular in Germany with the Turkish Arbeiter population of young people, because it spoke to their reality as migrants living in a very different culture and building relationships and, you know, and kind of building that community cohesion. I do just want to say, in the session, we'll also hear from a Bradford author, Mariam Ansar, whose book Good for Nothing is a great read, actually. I read it earlier this year, about three young people up from Bradford, all, you know, having their own struggles in terms of charting their path forward in the way that society sees them, understands them, and the opportunity it provides them. And I think there's a real connection between, sadly in a way, between my mum's work and Miriam's work in terms of how challenging it is to be a young person in our world right now, with the kind of deepening levels of poverty, the kind of geopolitics of the moment, you know, and that just, it's much more challenging, I often think now, for young people than it was when I was growing up, even though things weren't perfect, yeah. I think the challenges for young people now, the levels of anxiety, access to opportunity, ability to, you know, move into housing, all those things are really difficult. And if you put that then with a lens around coming from a Black, Asian, minority ethnic background, that is a doubly difficult scenario for many, many young people these days.
And there's not a lot of that young adult fiction, if you like, that tackles such really universal problems.
Yeah, no, that's true. I think, actually, my mum was one of a number, really. Anne Fine was another, wasn't she? I think at that time, maybe Judy Blume in America, but that was in a different sort of way. The 70s and 80s saw the birth of young teenage adult fiction, if you like, that transitional fiction. Mm. Quite often now, that fiction is about science fiction or fantasy, you know, which just touches on reality, of course, but it's not as grounded in the kind of the realities of life for young people. So yes, that's why I think my mum's books have been reprinted every year since 1972, because they do speak to lived reality of young people.
Well, that's fantastic, and we certainly look forward. It's really good that we're going to have that opportunity to learn about your mum's work, but also the relevance of her work to today's youth in Bradford, young people. So I'll thank you very much, Kirsten, and look forward to seeing you at the City Library on Thursday, the 29th of June.
So that was myself, Carol Moss, talking to Kirsten England, who is the Bradford Council Chief Executive Officer, about the session that she is doing with Mariam Ansar, presenting that on Thursday, the 29th of June, 6 p.m. at City Library, and it's called In Memoriam, Joan Lingard, and it's definitely going to be relevant to today's people here coming to the festival and learning about different communities and how they survive. And her stories are absolutely amazing, and unfortunately she died earlier this year. So back to you, Maureen Rowe. Hello. And tell me other things that you saw this weekend.
Now, I've seen Alfred Gardner. He's I think he's the last living person that came up on the Empire Windrush. The last, you know, yes, the last person. He's 97 years old, and he's got a book out called Finding Home. Now, to say that he's 97, his faculties are good, and his memory is even greater. And, you know, and he talked about, and he actually came up when he was 18 years old. He said he saw an advert, he applied, he got, and he came here, you know, and came, and he wanted to be in the war. And you can, could you consider an 18-year-old coming to a country that they don't know nothing about, apart from the fact that it was mother country, and they said, come and help us. The street was paved with gold and all those things. And he came here with something, but he was happy to come and fight in the war. Then he went back home. And then it was when he went back to Jamaica, thought, you know what, I want to come back. And we asked him what brought him back. He said, love. We would say, yes, definitely love. And his children and that. But he's got this whole thing about him. He don't allow too many things to get in his way. Even though he said he didn't face that much racism, his son said, yes, my dad faced racism. But he just let things, you know, just pass by him. But to say that he came here, and all the stuff that happened, he still had the most amazing quality that sits inside of me. There's a narrative that sits there for him that said, this is England, and he's got two homes. He's got England and he's got Jamaica. And for me, the great thing is, he said he came from Montego Bay, and I'm from Montego Bay. And afterwards, I really wanted to say, well, where about? And he told me, and I was like, wow. And then we start talking about Jamaica. You see, there's this thing that if you come from somewhere, wherever that is, and you meet another country person, you just want to talk about it, you know. And I felt like I was home again, just talking to him. He reminded me of my grandfather, you know. So yes, that was just amazing. Also, Gary Young. Let's get back to Gary Young. Gary Young, he was a journalist for The Guardian. And the first book, I was introduced to him because I was interested in the freedom fighters, and I didn't know what it was about. And he wrote a book about the freedom fighters, and he went back to America and traveled the route. And the freedom fighters were people who, you know, went down south and they helped with during the civil rights movement. And I read that book and I was so amazed by this person. So I tried to read bits and pieces from him. But some of the stuff that he talked about, it was just so amazing. It's you know, about racism, about we've come far, but we haven't got that far, you know, and we still need to push, you know. We need to see things clearer. We haven't gone too far up the road, you know, and we still need to be mindful of who we are, what we are, and what we're about. We also talked about being there when Nelson Mandela was released. I was like, wow, you know, and the fact that he didn't plan it. You know, he said, you know what? Well, they needed somebody to go. And I don't think a white person was going to do it for them. But then if you send me, it's also cheap, you know? And he said, you know, just the fact that he just right place at the right time, and that for him was really, really, really good. But I also went to see, so all the stuff they talked about, if I cross over to 60 years of Martin Luther King, and the and I can't remember what it's called, something general, that I can't even think what it is. General attorney, thank you, Mary. Yeah. And he literally was talking about how things have changed, but not changed at all. And we don't really talk about Lyndon B. Johnson at all, but we needed to when it comes to Martin Luther King, because actually they were friends. But when Lyndon says, you need to do me a favor now, Martin went, no. And you know what, a year to the day, he was assassinated. We won't even talk about why or how, but we know that That's when the phone tapping came in, and they tapped Martin Luther King for everything. Toilet, don't matter where he was, he was tapped. So when we put those two things together, it just shows that that racism is still underlying.
So it seems like a real mixture of a weekend, yes, of celebration and tears and joyfulness
and laughter.
And a lot of laughter.
And just seeing my elders out in their finery, we're so glad, you know, I was just so happy just to see them. And, you know, they got flowers and just, it was just so nice to just be able to honour them for all their hard work.
Wow, that's absolutely fantastic. Now, we also had a slightly different trip down memory lane with the Bollywood, a real feast, if you like, for Bollywood lovers at St. George's Hall last night. And it was called The Journey Through Bollywood. So we've been on the Windrush journey and also on the Bollywood journal. So with Navin Kundra and the 515 crew. And BCB's Mary Dowson was there with hundreds of others. And at the interval, she caught up with one very enthusiastic fan.
I am Joshua Sembi, and I'm from Ontario, Canada. This is just a wonderful experience for me. I'm watching live Mr. Kundra's show, and it is a beautiful singing show. And we are reliving the past and also enjoying the present and the future kind of thing, yes.
So he's singing a selection of Bollywood songs?
He is. He's singing the selection of songs from Muhammad Rafi and the legend he is known. Nobody can imitate him. He's so good at it. He has done Muhammad Rafi and Mukesh. He has done, you see, I mean, Kishore Kumar. He has done so many of them, including his own, you see, composition as well. And he's excellent. He's full of energy. He's a package of goods. He's good looking, he's hot, he can sing, he has the energy, and he can dance. And now, the crowd is wild.
Now, I've been sitting next to you, and I have to say, you've been joining in quite a lot.
Yes, because I know most of the songs. I feel like jumping up and stepping on the stage and going dancing with him. He's really good.
So if he asks for somebody to come forward in the second half, it could be you.
Well, no, not today. This is, actually, it's been a long time since I've been on the stage, but this is what runs in the family. We are a musical family, and we appreciate good music, and it is good music. And it's good music, not only vocals, but it's good music. The musicians are great, superb, excellent. You see, I mean, I can relate to it, and you see, I mean, it's really, really, really good person, good crowd, and good, what should I say, the group, the whole group. I don't know, he said 515, something like that?
515, is, yeah.
Beautiful magicians, and he's great himself, too.
Now, it's interesting looking at the audience, because there's people of every age here. Does Bollywood work like that? Is it for every age?
Yes, Bollywood is not only, known and very well known and enjoyed in the Asian countries, it's in the Middle East, it's in the Western. I am from Canada, it's enjoyed in Canada. People come to me and they tell me, you see, I mean, oh, they start singing, you know, I mean, they're like, oh, you're from India? Yes, I'm from India. Oh, you see, I mean, you know, they start singing their songs. And I lived in Africa as well, in Kenya, and it's humongous. Humongous. I mean, it's just, I mean, everybody knows Bollywood. Everybody knows Muhammad Rafi. Everybody knows Lata Mangeshkar. Everybody knows the legend singers. And the movies and everything. Really, really. When they're singing the songs, we are reliving the movies, the songs were produced for, and the heroes and heroines. Remember you were saying that? Yes, really, really, really nice. Yes, it's a wonderful experience. And to see the diversity here, my goodness. I think we have diversity. You see, I mean, in Canada, we have very good diversity. We have very much for diversity, and this has amazed me. And I did live in England at one time for a few years, and honestly, I'm telling you that I can't be more happier. How much I'm going to take back as well.
And that was a taste of the fabulous journey through Bollywood concert at St George's Hall last night. And I've actually got another person who was there, Amna Ali, who is actually the cultural affairs consultant. No?
Cultural programming consultant.
Sorry. Cultural programming consultant for the Bradford Literature Festival. But you were at the Bollywood concert. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about what you thought of it.
I think it was amazing. The selection of songs was perfect, because everybody in the audience, especially the South Asian communities, everybody knew the songs, and they were ranging from 1960s to the 2000, and we were all singing along, people were dancing. I could see a very old couple, they just could not sit on their seats, and they were just dancing and marching and loving each and every bit of it. And the range of the songs that the singer had chosen was amazing, because he sang songs from the beautiful era of Bollywood, and even I belong to Pakistan, but I knew each and every song and I sang along, so it was very entertaining.
That's absolutely fantastic, and it sounds as though it was a very good time. Our director Mary Dowson was also at the concert, and I think you enjoyed it too, didn't you, Mary?
I really enjoyed it. I was a bit tired when I went there, but I got completely energised from the concert itself. The man who performed, how good was he, Amna? He was very good, wasn't he?
Not just as a singer, but as a performer. The moves that he was doing were actually from the Bollywood movies, and he was copying each and every one of those legendary actors. And everybody could just relate to the moves and to the songs. And the choice of the songs, I must commend the BLF team, Arna and Saima, for putting up that fabulous list of songs, because all of us could relate to it, all of us could sing it, we remembered all the lyrics, and it was just fabulous. It was amazing to see that energy from the South Asian community in Bradford. I think the cultural diversity personified at its peak yesterday.
Fantastic. So we've heard about Bollywood and the Windrush. Seems like a really healthy and energetic start that really touched people's hearts, didn't it, Mary?
Absolutely. I mean, the weekend was just full of diverse events and things. It'd be interesting to get Amna's take on it, because Amna's here from Lahore to spend time at the Literature Festival. Amna, what did you think about the weekend?
Well, I think there's a lot of things going on, and it's very difficult to make a choice of what you want to attend and what you miss out, because I've been just sitting and looking at the brochure again and again and just prioritizing what I want to attend and what I can miss out on, and I feel very bad when I'm missing out on something. And another thing that is very important is that it's very inclusive. All religious communities are catered for. The South Asian communities here are catered for, and the panel discussions, the workshops are very interesting, very informative. I attended a couple of them and I learned a lot, and I think I want to write something now. So I think it's a mixture of a very informative and very educational as well as entertainment, and people are coming from all walks of life and all ages. I've seen very young children, 8 and 9 years old children, attending an oral storytelling workshop with me, and then very old people attending panel discussions. So it's a mixed variety of people, of race, of ethnicities, and of the events that they are offering.
Well, we're very, very proud of the diversity that the Literature Festival celebrates and mirrors of the society which is here in Bradford. Are you hoping to take perhaps some ideas back to Lahore?
Basically, I do almost the same thing what is happening here in Bradford. It's just very elaborative. It's a 10-day festival. Our festivals are a little shorter in duration, but I'm learning a lot. And I think Lahore as a city of literature can work together with the city of film, Bradford, and the city of culture for 2025, and we can do something together as well.
Oh, I look forward to that. That's an absolutely fantastic. Thank you very, very much, Amna Ali. Wow. Wow, that's absolutely fantastic. And looking forward forward to it. Every minute we get closer to 2025, there seems to be more to do, but more interesting things. And we've in fact got another show coming up this evening, which is Evening Conversations. It's a one-woman show by Sudha Bhushar, and it's at the studio at the Alhambra Theatre at 7:30 this evening. Still time to get there if you want. And it's a one-woman show cutting across the generations, so it's a slightly different approach, if you like. But I spoke to Sudha last week, and you know, as she says, she's a middle-class, multicultural mother of millennial sons, as many of us, are. Yeah. And she talks about the sort of similarities and the difference of growing up in that environment, and the conversations that she has with her son. And she gave me some examples. So that's indeed going to be a very interesting thing. What are you looking forward to, Maureen, in coming up tomorrow or the rest of the week?
I am looking forward to Poetry with a Punch, because you know what? Every time it's always sold out. And this time my wonderful sister, who was the other half of Sisters of Soul, she managed to get in. And so I'm so excited. And then there's another comedy night. I don't know. My other sister wanted that. But I am so looking forward to see Lem Sissy and Lenny Henry. But also...
They're in conversation.
They're in conversation. So I'm really looking forward to that more than anything else. So, yes, but you never know. I might look again and find something else to attend. But there's been so much. You know, the program is full of so Ben Okri. I'm going to go see Ben Okri as well. I've seen him before. There's something spiritual about him. There's something calm and sedate when he speaks, and he speaks to my soul, and so that I'm looking forward to. But some of the stuff got over, because I wanted to go to one about children in care. I couldn't do that. I couldn't go see I'm just trying to think, well, there's a few I couldn't see, because there's, you know, they were so close. But the program is full of absolutely wonderful, you know. And I would like to see more people come out and enjoy the festival, because there's something for everyone. It doesn't matter how old you are, there is something for everyone, and just be part and parcel of it. And you can't say anything if you don't come and try it. You can't complain, you can't criticize, you can't critique, because you weren't there. So I would just say, for next year, please come out and support and enjoy.
Okay, and Mary Dowson, what about you? What are you thumbing through the book there, looking for the items that you're going to be attending?
Well, I've got to remember, because as Maureen said, I thought, I keep forgetting things are on, because yes. I've looked at them and I haven't quite got around to booking my ticket. But it really is worth booking a ticket, because some things do sell out as well, so that's really important. So I'm looking forward to a little bit of sleep over the next couple of nights. I had a really busy weekend at the festival, and then and then prepare myself for another weekend of events next week.
And if you want to come to any of the events tomorrow, there's events in the Festival Hub. There's
at 2 o'clock, Tim Smith is showing his photographs of Ukrainians in Bradford, and so that's that'll be really interesting. He's been documenting with photography the Ukrainians in Bradford for a long time now, so that'll be a really interesting talk that he'll be giving at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
And at 12 o'clock you've got Nigel Grizzard, who's representative, if you like, of the Jewish community in Bradford. And then at 4:30 there's something for the children, for the kids and family. So it really is a festival for everyone, isn't it?
It is. It really is. As Maureen said, you know, everybody should just come and give it a go. And I think people think this, oh, I don't know what it is, I don't know how I'll fit in. But actually, just come and give something a go. The tickets are really, really cheap. They're really reduced for people who have needs, and so that there's no excuse not to come be part of it. Join in.
Absolutely. And as Maureen said, you know, if you don't come, you can't sort of comment on it. And the thing is, it's more than a literature festival. That's the thing about it. It's more than just books and people talking about books. It's sharing the ideas. And it's done in a very special way. Don't you think, Maureen?
Yes, it's more, you know what, when you come, like, I heard Mary saying about when she went to the Bollywood, you know, event, and she met somebody there, and how amazing. And for me and my sister, we see so many people, and you know, we got talking to them because we're sharing a common goal here.